Hey there. You are listening to Currents in Religion, a podcast brought to you by the Department of Religion at Baylor University and by Baylor University Press. I'm Zen Hess. Thanks for listening. It's time for AAR SBL. If you're not part of the academic religious world, AAR is the American Academy of Religion, and SBL is the Society of Biblical Literature. AAR SBL is the shorthand used to describe a several days long conference put on by these two prominent academic societies. This is the weekend when thousands of nerdy academic religious study folk like me get together in the same place to share academic papers, to see friends, and to make new ones, and to stroll through the glorious exhibitor hall where we buy all the books we can't afford to buy because books. It's all great fun. I will be down in San Antonio for the event, and Monday afternoon and all day Tuesday, I'll be at the Baylor University Press booth. I'd love to see you. Come stop by and say hi. And the press has a lot of stuff going on for the meetings. So let me tell you about a few things. Whether you're going to the meetings or not, you can access the sale by buying books on Baylor Press's website. Just enter the code 17AARSBL23 at checkout and you will get 30% off of your entire order. And if you're in the US, you will get free shipping. That's for all titles. So enter the code 17AARSBL23 for 30% off and free shipping for people in the US. If you'll be at the event, however, you have got to stop by the booth. We are doing a $500 book giveaway. All you have to do to enter is leave your information in the bowl that's set out at our booth, booth 301. Stop by, say hi, and enter to win. And if you've downloaded the AAR SBL23 app, you can click into Baylor Press's exhibitor profile to see all the sessions featuring our books. Really exciting stuff. All right, so this episode features an interview that I did with Dave Nelson, the director of Baylor University Press, last year in November 2022 in anticipation of the meetings that would take place in Denver. But we talked mostly about how to network, especially with publishers. Dave gives honest, candid advice about networking at events like this one, and so the information in the interview is still relevant, even if some of the details are a bit more specific to Denver. So, if you're making your way down to San Antonio or to an academic conference some other time, or you just think that you might do that someday, this episode will be helpful to you. Enjoy. I know that the Graduate Lounge has been buzzing with excitement the past few weeks, really. One of my friends made his SBL schedule, I think, the first week of September. So people are excited, and they're excited about giving papers, about seeing friends, making new connections, all of these sorts of things. What excites you personally about these sorts of conferences?
This is a great question, Zen, and I've done the math in my head. This is my 16th annual meeting.
Wow.
16. So the very first one, I was an MDiv student, and I was meeting my eventual doctoral supervisor for the first time, and I was bewildered.
And who is that?
John Webster, yeah. At Aberdeen. And the first meeting was just overwhelming. There was so much going on, so many people. Didn't really know what I was getting into. The next four meetings, I was there as a graduate student. I believe I presented two papers during that stretch, but really was there just to make connections, build network, talk to people about publishing and potential jobs, look around the exhibit hall, and just have fun. Mm-hmm. So I have very fond memories of those 4 years of it just being kind of just a good time to do what we do as scholars when we network and build those friendships and relationships. Then I had a meeting in 2011 when I was interviewing for several jobs and presenting a paper that I didn't have any business presenting. I was presenting out of my league. And so the whole time I was terrified. It was very stressful. And then the last 10, including this one, I've been a professional publisher.
Right.
And for my meetings, excitement is perhaps not the best word that I would use to describe my mood going into these meetings. For us in the publishing world, these are very, very busy meetings. This is a busy week for us. Many years ago, I heard someone in the publishing world describe this week as, quote, our Super Bowl, unquote. And I kind of bought into that idea for a little while, but then I realized, wait, there is no winner at the end, and there's no ticker tape parade.
Sure.
We don't go to Disney World after it's all over. Usually we get done after the week, and we just curl up in fetal position and wait for Thanksgiving, right? For us, it's just really busy, a lot of conversations, a lot of business, a lot of things thrown our way. But mainly, it's an opportunity for us to bring our books and what we do before the readers that we serve.
Yeah.
So it's a very important kind of a high-stakes event for us. And for my part, going in, trying to pace myself and make sure that I attend to self-care is very important. But, you know, I look back upon my own experiences, and I realize that these meetings mean different things to different people in different stages of their career.
Yeah.
And, I mean, especially for graduate students and young PhDs who are, you know, maybe not facing some of the immediate pressures that others are, and some people going to, you know, interview faculty members coming on board, or they've got big book deals. But for those who don't have such things, have fun, make a network, build relationships, spend time talking about ideas, because that kind of thing happens at these events in a way that maybe doesn't in other venues and opportunities.
Yeah. I'd like to follow up, I think, on something that you've mentioned. I know that we've had conversations in the past where you were talking about building out your schedule for ARSBL and what that would look like as a publisher. And I'd love for our listeners to kind of just get a window in to what this week does look like for you all. As the director of a press, what wisdom might you have for people hoping to make meaningful connections with publishers, with other sorts of professional folks that might be beneficial in the long run?
That's a great question. I think if there's an idea, maybe a rule of thumb to keep in mind, it would be to be self-aware when you're meeting with someone, or to recognize that the other person, you know, may have had, whether they're interviewing you for a potential job or discussing a book project with you or talking about some other connection that could be lastingly meaningful. The first impression is very important, and the person on the other side may very likely be in the busiest week that they'll have of the entire year.
Yeah.
So I'm in publishing, and this is, for me, I was in acquisitions for many years, and now I'm the director of a press. I don't work behind the booth,
right?
But what I do is meet with authors and talk about projects. That usually begins from about 7 in the morning and lasts sometime until about midnight.
Wow.
So it's hours and hours and hours and hours of talking about ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you a couple of funny stories here. One would be, I vividly recall, I won't name any names because I'm going to be on my best behavior here. But I remember one time being at our reception. This is back when I worked not for Baylor University Press, but for Baker Academic. And I was at our reception, and someone cornered me to present to me their doctoral dissertation topic, and went on for maybe about 15 minutes without really a pause for a breath. It was astonishing. Actually, I think I witnessed a medical miracle because they just went on and on and on without even pausing to give me a moment to just ask a question or interject. Finally, we got to the end, and I informed this individual that we don't publish or didn't publish doctoral dissertations at Baker Academic, so the whole conversation was not going to lead anywhere.
Yeah.
That was a moment where someone was just eager. They came to the meetings ready to do what they needed to do to get their dissertation under contract somewhere, but didn't do the kind of research. They weren't thinking about what was going on on the other side of the equation. And that didn't go anywhere and left a bad impression, you know, in my mind, of course. I know that, that I'm speaking as a publisher here. Every year, we'll see a few dozen people who have a book idea. Maybe it's their doctoral dissertation, or maybe it's a project that they've been working a long time on.
Mm-hmm.
And their approach to finding a publisher is to go and buy from Office Max or something, one of those big packs of paper, right?
Mm-hmm.
And print proposals until the paper runs out. They walk around with a stack of proposals, dozens and dozens and dozens deep, and they just hand them out to unsuspecting editors and publishers in the exhibit hall. I call it the scattershot approach.
Uh-huh.
I'm just the way if I get my proposal out to every single publisher I can find, surely one of them will come around and give me a book contract. I don't know. It certainly has never worked in my experience where that's led to a good publishing relationship. And I don't know if it has elsewhere. Also, usually we publishers sort of huddle up with each other and talk about the goofballs that come around and do that sort of thing. I think then if that's the sort of negative way to describe or to answer the question, to put it in more positive terms, being deferential to the other person, building a relationship, being self-aware about what you're doing, those are the kinds of things that ultimately, whether it's publishing or whether it's a faculty position, whether it's a new network of scholarship, usually those things flourish when the relationships flourish.
Right.
So to start out doing something that works against the relationship could end up backfiring. So I always encourage folks to just be very self-aware.
Yeah.
You never know what people are bringing into these meetings. So go in with a little bit of, you know, just how you're acting and how you might be perceived.
Yeah.
Is a good idea.
Yeah. And I'm hearing too, I mean, you've mentioned a couple of times now just how busy this week is for you. So for someone like me, where I get the freedom to schedule whatever session I'd like to go to and the meetings that I'd like to have, and to leave space where I want to leave space. This is very much just a full and maybe a double time work week for you all. And it sounds like maybe I know you well enough to know that a stranger coming up and shaking hands and saying, "Hey, I'm so and so. Who are you?" You're going to engage with them and with kindness. But I think there is a sense in which you're saying, "I don't have time to hear everything that people might want to tell me in this space. I've made a schedule with people who have reached out to me or who I know I needed to connect with." And so there's a sense in which maybe for publishers, I guess I don't know if I should speak generally. You can maybe tell me from your huddling up with other publishers. But for publishers, it might be the best approach for someone in my situation or a PhD student looking to publish their dissertation or something along those lines, to simply meet the editors and publishers that are present there, to introduce themselves and to ask if they can follow up. That would be a good first touch.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's the possibility of the beginning of a relationship.
Yeah.
That's a splendid alternative to just finding a warm body who happens to have a publisher's tag on and dropping a proposal in their hands.
Yeah.
It's those sorts of, at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about. It's about, I mean, even the theme this year, right, is reconnecting, right? We're connecting with each other once again. The idea behind that is that last year the numbers were down, and those of us, I know you were there at the meeting last year in San Antonio. We're coming out of COVID, and there weren't as many people as normally are there. Well, this year they're expecting a big crowd. So we're reconnecting with one another and revisiting important relationships that we already have, but also building new and existing ones. And I think that for those who, you know, whether they're looking again for a publishing opportunity, whether they're wanting to build out a research network, looking for possible, positions down the road, I think that the best approach is to focus on the relational aspect of what we do. I think that's really, at the end of the day, and apologies to our listeners if I sounded a bit, slightly cynical in some of my publisher's remarks here, but if I can turn it into a positive, these meetings are very important when it comes to those connections and relationships. And the more we can do going in to really build that out, the better. So my secret is, I might gripe about, it's sun up to sundown, know, and beyond. I've got all these meetings lined up. The reality is, 90% of those meetings are with people that I already know really well and really enjoy spending time with them. And so that, to my mind, is what makes these meetings genuinely exciting. And kind of going back to your original question, is I get to hang out with people that I really enjoy, really, really know well, and build those existing relationships. Yeah.
You are listening to Currents in Religion, and I'm speaking with Dave Nelson, the director of Baylor University Press, about networking at conferences like AARSBL.
You brought up COVID and the way that it impacted not just last year's, but also the years before. And I'm curious, this AARSBL has been a staple in academic religious life for some time. How do you think that a conference like this will continue on in the future? Have you thought about how COVID might have long-term affected these sorts of meetings and their significance in academic life?
I think it remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. Exactly what the impact of COVID will be. And we're about to see next week. I know the numbers of pre-registrations have already been published, and then we'll see how the event actually unfolds. Mm-hmm. Now, here's my hunch. If you go back a few years before COVID, there was a sense, especially with the smaller conferences, that perhaps there were too many. There were a lot of little conferences just popping up all over the place, right? Mm-hmm. Travel calendars were very busy for most in our world, whether in scholarship or ancillary to scholarship, like in publishing. We were just traveling all the time. And I talked to a lot of people in publishing. I talked to a lot of people in academia who were wary and weary of the travel, right? Yeah. And COVID, among all of the different things that it did, is it sort of brought all of that to a grinding halt.
Yeah.
What it also did is it forced the world to learn how to use Zoom and Teams and all of these electronic means to stay connected. I would not be surprised, Zen, if a lot of smaller conferences either disappear or they gravitate towards a digital environment.
Right.
Right. We're in an inflationary and potentially recessionary economy for the foreseeable future, and we may not have the vast majority of us have the funds to travel at our leisure anymore, at least for the time being. So a shift away from some of the smaller conferences to they either fade away or they end up going virtual online or some kind of component. I would not be surprised if that happens, in which case the meetings that are starting next week take on even more significance,
right?
So this is just a hunch. It will be interesting to see how it plays out over the course of the next few years. But I would not be surprised if during the present decade, the AARSBL meetings become even bigger, both in terms of their size and in terms of their significance, because there's an urgency to make use of this event, because it's the big one that we can all go to and we can do the most business networking and conversing.
Interesting. Well, we'll have to see what happens over the next 5 to 10 years and where things go. Okay, last question. I'm hesitant to ask it because I know how busy you are, but are there any sessions that you are going to be able to go to that you're excited about?
It was, you were right to be hesitant, simply because this is funny, because looking back in the last few years, usually if I go to a session, it's a session that, you know, heaven forbid, I'm presenting at the session. And I love those, not because of my own performance of a paper, but simply because before and after my own presentation, I get to sit there for a few moments and just relax for a little bit, which is great. No such luck this year, which is fine by me. Instead, though, I've got an opportunity to hear a panel on a book that I acquired many years ago for Baker Academic by Tom Greggs, who's a dear friend of mine. And it's the first volume of a big project that he's putting together, Dogmatic Ecclesiology.
Ecclesiology book, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. That will be an opportunity. When I moved positions, I had to leave behind a lot of projects that I had started with authors who became dear friends in the course of preparing the proposals and acquiring. And that was definitely one of the hardest ones to leave behind. So to be able to go to a session and to support Tom and to support the book that in that case I did actually bring all the way through, offered critical feedback to Tom and kind of went back and forth as I normally do as an editor, and just could not be happier with how it turned out.
Yeah.
So to be able to go and hear, just to be in the room, to hear the presenters engage with that work, I'm very excited about that. So that may end up being it. I've also circled a few that, you know, are of interest to me.
Sure.
And if I get a chance to break away and duck into them, I'll definitely do that. But yeah, normally in our world, we're sort of visiting the papers themselves sparingly. If I could go back to, you asked a little bit ago, we talked about other meetings, the smaller events. Mm-hmm. The one thing I do like about those smaller events, and we just had one we were both at here at Baylor a couple of weeks ago, is usually at the smaller events, because of the way they're laid out, because of the way the schedule unfolds, I get a chance to sit into and listen to a lot of papers at those smaller events. And I enjoy that part still. I enjoy you know, hearing papers and listening to the discussions, every now and then even participating in the conversations. For AARSBL, it's usually just we're kind of trying to get, you know, from 1 hour to the next without collapsing. So we'll see.
Well, I'm glad to see you before that. Thank you for making some time with us, especially, I mean, this is what we're recording this the Friday before things start. So I know that you're very busy. Thanks for making time to join us to give us a little bit of insight on the experience of a publisher at SBL, AARSBL, and how those of us who are not in the publishing world might get to know you all and respect the business of your week. And I'll look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you so much, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Don't forget, if you're in San Antonio, to stop by Baylor's booth to say hi and to sign up for our $500 book giveaway. Next week, I will speak with Susan Benton, a graduate from Baylor's PhD program in religion and a newly hired lecturer of religion and ministry guidance here in Baylor's religion department. We speak about her research on women in early Christianity and the Roman world and her role on the ministry guidance team here at Baylor. Until then, take care.